from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The president will speak to the nation on Tuesday, making his case for military action in Syria. But with so much attention now focused on what the United States will do and on the question of international support, what's the level of support for intervention within the Syrian American community? In our first half hour, we'll hear from three Syrian Americans whose views are often conflicted as those elsewhere, but for whom the stakes are both more personal and more painful. And then at 9:30, the bike share program is now underway in the Bay Area. We'll find out how it works and what it hopes to accomplish. Our topics next on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The current debate in this country over American intervention in Syria often seems to be fueled by memories of what just happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, more influenced by our recent past than by an assessment of the present conflict, more shaped sometimes by internal politics than by foreign policy. So this morning on Forum, in our first half hour, we're not going to talk about the vote before Congress or about how politics may affect that vote. Instead, we're going to hear from three Syrian Americans about what they see, what they hear, and what they feel about the conflict that has ripped their country apart, killing over 100,000 Syrians, displacing 4 million at home, and causing 2 million to flee. We're joined by Faris Ahalu, who is president of the Northern California chapter of the Syrian American Council. Faris, good morning.
Morning, David.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We're joined as well by Tarek Suman, who was born and raised in Syria, is a member of the Syrian political opposition group called Building the Syrian State Current. He now joins us from Palo Alto. Tarek Suman, thanks for being with us as well.
Hi. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And finally, we're joined by Suzanne Bouland. She is a law student at the University of Minnesota, but was raised in Sacramento, Syrian American as well. Suzanne Bouland, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's hear briefly from each of you first, just about how you view the proposed intervention by President Obama. Suzanne, start us out. In the end, where do you come down on whether or not a military strike should take place?
Well, in the very end, I come down in support of the U.S. strikes, but it's a very hard decision and it doesn't come with a lot of trepidation.
And what is that trepidation about? Why is it so much more complex? We tend to always want to divide things into black and white. Either you're for it or against it. Give us some sense of the complexity from your point of view in terms of how you see how this may affect people in Syria.
Sure. I mean, as a general whole, the Syrian revolution has been plagued by this black and white ideology. But in fact, there's a lot of very complex factors at play, not just geopolitical issues such as the role of and reaction of Russia, but also the situation on the ground. You can't predict what the response will be. However, I do believe that the strikes may serve to, you know, weaken the regime. And if you take the Syrian conflict as a zero-sum game, then the weakening of the regime will give an advantage to the rebels, which is, you know, the majority of my justification for it.
Suzanne Bouland, law student at the University of Minnesota, raised in Sacramento. Faris Ahalu, as president of the Northern California chapter of the Syrian American Council, where do you come down on whether or not an intervention would be useful or not as far as the best outcome for the Syrian people?
I want to echo what Suzanne said, and we support the president. We ask Congress to authorize U.S. action against the dictatorship. The dictatorship that has been around for 4 years, claiming hundreds of thousands of lives. And if we don't do this today, more chemical weapons will be used, more attacks will be used, more children will be killed. So it's a very difficult decision. We're not jumping up and down in joy that, yeah, we're going to bomb these cowards. No, it's as an American, right? it's hard to ask your government to bomb anyone. But when you know that this is the only way out, then we will go ahead and support that action.
And why to you is it the only way out? What convinces you that this can actually make a difference? Because, of course, there are many who just feel it will only exponentially add to the chaos that is already there.
We're not asking to start a new war. I think our friends on the anti-war side of things, you know, we're not asking to start a war. We want to end this war that started 2.5 years ago. As you mentioned, over 100,000 people killed. And now chemical weapons have been used. So if we let this go, the Assad regime, just like his father in 82, he wiped out neighborhoods. 45,000 people were killed, and nobody heard about it in 82. And the son now, Bashar Assad, is capable of doing the same thing. So we must put an end to this war.
Is it for you, though, more a sense of we have to do something? The international community, the United States, has to do something, has to make a statement, rather than necessarily a feeling that this will necessarily affect what happens to Bashar al-Assad?
So inaction is not an option. We've been waiting for 2.5 years, right? UN resolutions, you know, trying all the diplomatic routes, but nothing has happened. The only thing that is happening as we speak today, David, you know, 100 people would have been killed in Syria. My father-in-law was shot at. He's 72. I know every family, every Syrian family has been impacted by this. Scud missiles are targeting civilians. So we've tried everything else. Nobody wants U.S. boots on the ground. I mean, nobody's asking for this. Syria has enough men and women to defend itself. We just need to put an end to this dictatorship and disarm the Assad regime from using chemical weapons in the future.
Faris Ahalo, Northern California chapter president of the Syrian American Council. Tarek Suman joins us as well from Palo Alto, graphic artist, was born and raised in Syria. You come down on the other side, Tarek Suman. Tell us why.
Yeah. So first, I'm not a Syrian American. I'm just a Syrian, but I am based in the U.S. right now in California. I'm not going to talk from a leftist and an anti-imperialist point of view, and I will not talk about that the role of the U.S. in the Middle East was never a positive or neutral, and the U.S. have supported and still supporting oppressive, dictatorial, racist, and sexist regimes and governments, such as Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the overthrown Tunisian regime, and before the Shah of Iran, and of course their biggest ally, the Israeli government. So keeping all this in mind, I would not happily have supported a U.S. strike on Syria if I have any hope that the intervention is going to be for the Syrian people benefits and will stop the bloodshed or at least reduce it. In fact, I am positive the intervention will lead to more deaths, destruction, and chaos. Syria at the moment is really, really bad and is the worst place to be at the moment in the world, but we still need to keep in our mind that things can get much, much worse.
Yeah. Tell me more about why, because that seems to be so much at the heart of the argument, whether or not everyone, you know, the three of you, so many people obviously want to see change come about in Syria. But the question seems to be whether or not this strike will actually encourage that change or make change actually more difficult. Tell me more about why you think a strike would actually prevent positive change from occurring.
Sure. So first, we need to clarify something that for pro-strike folks, that Obama never said anything about overthrowing the regime with this strike. He just said weaken it, and it will be limited to that. But let's say he said it. Let's say he said, in order for the U.S. to overthrow the Assad regime, they need to hit Damascus, the capital, where all the government leaders and bases are. And to give an idea about what Damascus is for people who never been there or know it well enough, Damascus is 40 miles square. With population of 1,700,000. And to put this in context, San Francisco is 231 miles with a population of 800,000. So San Francisco is 6 times bigger than Damascus with less than half of the population. And we are somehow magically are sure a bombing there, like we will go and bomb there, will only kill the bad guys. And even if the U.S. strike did not hit civilian areas, we need not to forget about the tens of thousands of political prisoners in the regime bases that did not die while protesting, that did not die under torture, and now they will die from an American bombing freedom bombs. Tarek. And of course, the fear of starting a regional war and even maybe a third world war on Syrian soil is always there. And there's also the fear of retaliation by Bashar before he goes down and take the country with him. So he would just go crazy maybe and bomb everywhere and take the country with him.
Yeah. Tarek Saman, graphic artist, now in Palo Alto, born and raised in Syria. If you want to join our conversation this morning, have questions for these three individuals, we'd love to hear from you. You can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Suzanne Boulad, you heard the argument that Tarek was just making about how this may only increase the amount of harm that is taking place and harm to civilians in Damascus in particular. What's your assessment of that argument?
Sure. I mean, this is a question of may. Nothing about this is certain. What is certain is that the Assad regime is using military force and pretty much a scorched earth policy against civilians. Scud missiles, chemical weapons, these are all weapons of war against civilians in civilian towns. Of course, there's going to be huge consequences towards any U.S. strikes in Damascus. But I've, weighed it very heavily on my conscience. I think that the destruction of these weapons of war that belong to the government could potentially limit civilian casualties in the long run.
And tell me something, each of you, about your own sense of this from a more personal perspective, from family, friends in Syria, what this means so far, so that we can sort of paint a picture for our listeners, because we sometimes get so focused on the politics of this and what the decision will be made by Congress. I think it's important to remember in the end what this will mean to people there. So Suzanne, continue, if you would, by describing what life, as you have heard from friends and family, is like right now in Damascus or elsewhere.
Sure. I mean, it's been incredibly difficult. I'd actually go to the extent to say that the last 2 weeks, while this debate has been up in the air, have been the hardest part of the revolution for me. And that's including seeing my family get shelled, seeing my cousin get killed in Homs. That being said, my family is mostly from Homs. So they already have witnessed the full extent of all of Assad's brutality on their homes and on their lives. Thankfully, most of my family is now refugees in Jordan. I have one aunt left in Damascus, and of course, I'm incredibly worried about her. We've been trying to push her to go into Jordan, to flee somewhere where, she will not only be safe from, any potential U.S. action, but she will also be safe from the regime. So this is something that, has been keeping me awake at night, literally. And it's very worrisome for my family that's left in Damascus.
Are you able to communicate with them? Are you able to be in communication with your aunt?
Yes. There is internet access. We will talk on Facebook. There are apps even where you can call each other and even video chat if the connection is strong enough. So luckily, that hasn't been cut off.
Yeah. Faris Ahalu, how about for you? Paint us a picture of what's going on with your family or friends.
I know when the chemical weapon attacks took place on August 21st, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning getting reports from first responders. 400 children died. We are in close touch with people on the ground, and the people are wondering over there, does the world doesn't care about us? What happens to the dignity of human lives? What happens to these? You see these videos of children on YouTube. I mean, every family is impacted there. So, my father-in-law, I mentioned earlier, was shot at. My uncle was killed. My sister just moved to the U.S. recently. And it's not me and my family. Every other family out there has been impacted. So one third of the population has left. And if we say, and I agree with what Tarek said, yes, Damascus is a heavily populated place. Where I was born, it's not too far away from the residential palace. With that in mind, with a very, very heavy heart, I still support the U.S. taking actions. Because otherwise, if we don't act today, just like we did at the time of the Bosnia, then maybe in a few weeks or a few months, maybe half of the population will be killed.
Faris Ahalu, Northern California Chapter President, Syrian American Council. Tarek Suman, what's happening with your family?
I mean, first, this is absurd. Half the population will be killed. It's true we have 100,000 people died so far, which is a huge, huge number. But if you don't take this percentagely, it's less than 0.5%. So the numbers are not close to half the population. So I have both my family, all my family, actually. I'm the only one here in the U.S. All my family, my mother, brother, sister, father, all of them are both in Damascus and in Aleppo. I haven't heard from my family in Aleppo in 3 days because there's no communications. But last time I talked to them, even though my brother is he's against the regime and he's been protesting against the regime since day one, he said, "I don't want the U.S. to come here. We'd rather die here and not die from American bombs." And no one believes. Even Sudan talked about Hamas. There was a video came out from Hamas, from rebels who are fighting the regime from the old city of Hamas, which is under siege right now, refusing a U.S. bombing. Of course, there are some Syrians in Syria who want the U.S. to intervene because they're just desperate. But that doesn't mean that intervention will actually lead to anything good. I think it will increase the violence, even if they manage somehow to overthrow the regime and kill Bashar. That doesn't mean it's not going to be a retaliation and revenge from Bashar's supporters, or it's going to be a stable country for, and it will not be stable for many, many years to come.
Yeah. Let's hear what some of our listeners are wanting to contribute to our conversation this morning. Let's go first to Ide in Berkeley. Go ahead, please.
Is the most stupid thing the United States ever done, including even Vietnam. It's so stupid because Assad and his group, which I have no love for, will hide and go in their, very safe shelters. The brunt of the problem will be on the civilians, poor civilian, like I was in 1956 in Egypt when Israel and England and French attacked us, and my house was almost wiped out. My high school, 200 students were killed. The second thing is the consequences of such an attack is unbounded. Hezbollah is going to send stealth. They're going to go and attack Israel. Israel is going to attack back. It's going to attack Iran. Iran is going to attack. It is just most stupid thing you can ever imagine. Also, the last thing I'll say, I'll be very quick. This region is famous for a lot of false operation, a false flag operation. First, we had Operation Susanna in 1954. Then again, we had 1967 USS Liberty Operation Cyanide, where Cairo was almost nuked. Everybody can Google search that and get the information.
Yeah,
we don't.
I'm going to hold you there. I thank you. I appreciate your adding that to our conversation. And I'd like Faris, if you would, to respond, because that seems to be the heart of the concern, that this will just spiral out that much further, make things that much worse.
So all we're asking for is we have to disarm the regime. We have to weaken the regime so that those who are opposing the regime will have a chance. We'll give them a fair chance. This is it. What's all about? I mean, this whole revolution started peacefully for 6 months. People, young men and women out there on the street asking for freedom. David, this conversation that you and I are having today, if it were in Syria, you and I and Suzanne and Tarek knows, we would have been put in jail, tortured, and then my wife would have been raped, my son would have been killed, and my house would have been destroyed. We know that. So this is what we're asking for, is we have to weaken the regime, we have to put an end to it. And then we're not jumping up and down and enjoy celebrating the bombing. We have a worse, and a horrible option. Horrible option being keeping Assad in place. Bad option, maybe we attack him and disarm him and give freedom and democracy to the Syrian people. And that's what we want to go with.
Faris, do you have, I'm interested in knowing the degree of confidence you have that this strike will make a difference. Is it a feeling that it really will make a difference? Or is it more, as you were just saying, we have only bad options and horrible options, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this bad option might possibly make a difference?
What we're asking for is to disarm the chemical weapons and then put an end to the regime. So whatever that means, and then also the vetted elements of the opposition, right? Those who are vetted by us here, by the U.S., enable those to fight their own fight. So that's what we're asking for. This is the only way to transition to rebuilding, Syria and bringing democracy to Syria.
Let's take another caller. Paul joins us from Arkansas this morning. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, folks, first of all, I want to tell you folks from Syria, both domestic and my colleague that's from abroad, that the American people are behind you. I know that politics may seem different sometimes, but war is hell, and it hurts us to see your children bombed and dead bodies everywhere. So just want to say that we're emotionally behind the country of Syria and its citizens, and we detest this dictator. My question is there enough social media presence still in Syria where you can mobilize the civilians, and that if the United States does come in and does get behind a strike, as they're calling it, how can social media help and actually bolster the United States' prominence in the region? We come into these countries.
Paul, I'm going to hold you. Sorry to interject, but I'm going to hold you there just because we're short on time, and you've raised a useful and thoughtful question that I'd like Suzanne, if you would respond to, about the possibility of social media and what messages might be useful and supportive for your family and others in Syria.
Sure. Social media has played a huge part in this revolution, both inside Syria and outside Syria. We saw during the recent chemical attacks, any information that was distributed to give people tools to prevent, to mitigate some of the effects of the chemical gas was distributed through social media. And that's a powerful tool that can be used, in this situation as well, to kind of build a civilian support system for, any potential strikes, and to keep tabs on that as any systems or organizations that are doing it specifically. It's a very organic movement for the most part. And it's not going to mitigate all effects of any civilian casualties, of course.
Briefly from each of you, because I'm afraid we're at the end of our time. President Obama said he's going to speak to the American people, to the world, really, on Tuesday. What would you like him to say, Suzanne?
The message that I'd like President Obama to bring to the American people is the importance that Syria has both to Americans and to the world. I think that there is a lot of value to be said about enforcing international norms against chemical weapons use. And I think that there is something to be said about placing value in an eventually stable Syria.
And Tarek, what would you like him to say?
So I keep hearing about Obama or the U.S. should stop other countries from using chemical weapons, but it's okay for the U.S. to use chemical weapons like they did in Fallujah 2003. So I would like for Obama to
Syria.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. We're just about out of time. Just a last quick thought.
Yes. So I don't want, I like Obama would change his mind about attacking Syria and to use the U.S. very, very powerful protocol position in the world to actually use it and to put pressure on both sides to stop the fighting and try to find a protocol peaceful solution.
And we will have to leave it there. My thanks to all three of you for your thoughts and contributions to our conversation and for giving us a better understanding of what's happening in Syria right now. Thanks all very much. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.